What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is the Couples Edition, and it is episode number 230. All right, so today, Jess and I wanted to talk about standards, and more specifically, standards with raising kids. Obviously, when you're raising kids, there's all these different things that tug at you. You know, am I being too hard on my kids, or am I not being hard enough, right? Like, if you never have any adversity, how do you test your character? And it's the same way for kids, right? Like, if we give them everything, they turn into spoiled, entitled little brats, which I think we're seeing a lot of these days, my humble opinion. But at the same time, if you're too hard on them, are they going to look back and resent you and feel like maybe the love that you gave them was conditional on certain things or them achieving certain things? And so it's kind of left all of us as parents wondering, like, okay, are we screwing our kids up or are we actually doing the right thing? So Jess and I wanted to dive into that, kind of give you our take on it. Not saying that this is the correct take, but at least we can kind of throw up what our mindset has been and you can kind of compare it maybe to what you're doing with your kids or maybe the way you'll approach your future kids someday. So there you go. It was a fun conversation. Also, speaking about, you know, high standards and having our kids be held to a high standard, they also help us a lot with CrossO Meets, right? Like one of the things that we love to have them do is to allow them to earn money with CrossO Meets, you know, having them out there at farmers markets and learning how to sell and learning how to talk to people. And so that's all been integrated, right? Like at CrossO Meets, that's part of our family, part of our business, right? So you can go to crossomeats.com. You can check out all the inventory. You can get soap, salves. All the good stuff is there at crossomeats.com. Make sure to go check it out. All right, everybody, let's get started.
So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Couples Edition of the Primal King Podcast.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Ready to go.
Must be Wednesday.
No, it's Tuesday.
Well, I know, but I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
This comes out. Yeah. We record this a day early, just so you know. Yeah.
Yes.
Except for the one time when we re-recorded.
Quick audible there.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about today?
Today, we were chatting a little bit about just how we are probably pretty hard on our kids. And I've had a couple people comment about this recently, not in a bad way, in a good way. So we just thought we'd talk a little bit about that.
I think we should set it up a little bit because I think as parents, we want, in fact, like there's a guy who was talking about on social media who was asking this question, and he was saying, like, why do you think it is that, like, we've essentially become more and more worthless as human beings, right? Like,
yeah.
Like our society is broken down.
True.
And, you know, like all of these problems seem to be happening and there's moral issues and there's, you know, work ethic issues and all of these things. And I'm not a comment person. Are you? Do you comment a lot on like social media posts?
No,
I honestly hardly ever do.
Yeah.
Even like good stuff. Like I don't, I'll like it or whatever, but I actually responded to this one and here was my take. And I think this leads right into where we're going with being tougher on your kids. So my take is that almost all of us, if you were to talk to your parents or your grandparents, but like my age, I feel like your parents, most of them will tell you their parents were very, very hard on them,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a lot of like our grandparents' age, maybe our great grandparents, like they were either in the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
They were maybe, if they were a little bit older, then maybe they weren't in the Great Depression, but they were in World War II. They were fighting overseas in the Korean War, the Vietnam Wars. Like they were hardened individuals and they, a lot of times, raised their kids pretty hard,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I think a lot of our parents, if you're kind of in that 40s-ish area, like our parents had parents who were pretty hard, pretty strict, you know, like, again, they had fought wars. They had done all these different things. They worked their butts off in factories or fields. And so I think a lot of our parents, right? Like our parents were raising us to be like, you know, we want them to have a better life. I had a rough childhood, mm-hmm. right? Like so many of our parents, you talk to your dads, yeah, especially, it seems definitely. Like they're like, I had such a rough childhood. My dad didn't do this. My dad was this way. He was mean. He beat us, like all of these things. Right. And so then our parents are like, we want to raise our kids to be better. We want to give them everything. Mm-hmm. And now us, we're to the point to where we're raising kids, you know, like our generation,
total
maybe,
opposite,
yeah, yeah, maybe a generation above us. And we're like, yeah, we had a pretty good life because our parents made things better. And we want our kids to even be better and to have more. And now we've gotten to a point to where, in my opinion, we have a bunch of spoiled, entitled little crap heads mm-hmm. who don't think that they need to earn anything.
Yep.
They don't understand like how the actual real world works. And so then when they get out there, they get, you know, punched in the face because it's like they don't know how to operate because yep. they've been raised, you know, generation after generation. We've gotten weaker and weaker and weaker and softer and lowered our standards so much mm-hmm. to where now we have like this, these generations coming up. And I know every generation thinks this about the next ones, but I truly do, to where we have people freaking out about some things that really shouldn't be freaked out about at all.
Well, and I think in addition to that, even adults, so I guess, yeah, our age that, you know, maybe had it so easy in a sense previously, and I don't mean that so easy. Anyways, that I was just talking to somebody about it today where it's like the anxiety levels or different things that happen. They were with this person was telling a story about somebody who was driving and their check engine light came on and they were like freaking out because they're like, well, what are we going to do? And it's that reaction of like, everything comes so easy, right? Like if you need something, you just Amazon it, it comes in 2 days. If you like are without something, you can, most of the time you like hop in a car and get to a grocery store right away or yeah. different things. So it all comes so easy that then when it is maybe a tougher situation in this instance, again, this person was like, oh my gosh, we're going to run out of gas. And this other person was like, okay, so worst case scenario, we walk down the road and like, we're not in the middle of nowhere. Like we, like the gas station's right up there. Like we'd figure it out. Like again, that figuring it out. And this other person, like there was no figuring it out. It was full, just like panic. And I said to him, I said, well, yeah, it's that mental toughness of knowing like, okay, so this is the situation, good or bad. What do I do in it? Like, how do we overcome it?
Well, I think maybe just not enough people. What's that meme? It's like not enough of you have been mercilessly chased by a farm animal.
Yeah.
Shows.
Yes. 100%.
when there's no mercy, like
yeah.
not a lot of people anymore as kids, like realize, you know,
that
how weak
duck or that goose is yeah. going to bite you.
How weak and powerless you could actually be when you're moving a cow and it decides to turn on you. Yeah. There's no like screaming for help. There's like, you got to figure it out. You got to haul ass out of the pen. You got to, you know, get big, scare it, whatever. Like you got to figure something out.
Yeah.
And when you're raised without kind of understanding how to figure things out, like that's what gets us into some of these
well,
situations.
I think it goes to all the different things. Right. And it's like, even just the other day, it's like, okay, Riley's job, one of his chores is to feed the dogs, right? Like he's like in charge of feeding the dogs. Now he's 11 years old, like fully capable. And so we got dog food yesterday, had it in the back of the truck down kind of below our house. And we get there and I'm like, hey, like you're in charge of dog food, bring it up to the house. And it's, I mean, we have a good hill up to our yard here. And it was immediately like, well, how am I going to do that? And like, that's like impossible, you know? And I looked at him, I was just like, you're really smart. Like figure it out. And in my mind, I'm thinking there's a wheelbarrow right there. There's a wagon. Worst case scenario, it's not too heavy. Pick it up. And he did. He eventually picked it up, threw it on his shoulder. And I told him, I said, throw it on your shoulder and walk up here. Like, figure it out. And he did. And it was fine. And now he knows in his mind he can do it. But it's just that how many times, you know, it's hard because I feel like I've gone back and forth where there's sometimes I have, this has been a negative for me. I have maybe pushed too much. And because like Kennedy, for example, I know when she's always been similar to you and I, like a bigger person, she's taller, stronger, bigger. And so probably at a young age, I was like, you're big, like do these things. But then at the same time, there's been instances where it's like, okay, no, she is like still a child. Like I need to, you know, so there's twofold to this for sure. But I think there's so much of the time we look at them as like incapable or like, well, they can't do that. Or maybe they aren't going to do it right or how we want it done. But letting them like figure it out.
I always laugh because doing things right and doing things how you want them done seem to sometimes be two very different things.
Me?
Yes.
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 I know that's like, about
it. It be done right, but not done how you want it to be. And it's still
I'm working
off.
On that.
I'm working on that. We turn this into a therapy session.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but
I think it's true though. I mean, it just goes back to where it's like, okay, and it might be a mess. And I try to like give guidance with guidelines, right? Where I'll try to then be like, okay, is it, you know, without telling them exactly how to do the thing, Riley's chicken coop or something. I'll be like, okay, is it clean enough that they're not going to like, the eggs are going to be clean. Like, I don't need to come down here and micromanage how to clean a chicken coop, but like, is it clean to where there's no poop and they can have clean eggs? Like, that's my requirements of clean. Yes. Okay. Don't figure it out.
Well, and I think that one of the things that's really hard is that so many of us, again, we've grown up watching Disney Channel and watching all of these types of things that, you know, it's the villain is the mean dad who has all these expectations and the child is distraught over all these expectations put on them.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'd say this because I used to feel the same way. Like, I remember even talking about, you know, sometimes like with my brother and his kids, right? Mm-hmm. Because at a young age, he would push him pretty hard.
Yeah.
And it would always be like, oh man, like, are his kids going to grow up and resent him for pushing him hard? Are they going to grow up and not even like sports because they were pushed,
so hard, yeah.
You know, and I used to have those things go through my mind. And then what's been really, really cool though, is that now you see like both of his kids are going to be Division I athletes. You know, one playing for volleyball, one playing football. And so like, I tell you that because I think that we've almost been programmed to underestimate our kids underestimate how much resilience they actually have.
Yep.
We want to coddle them and keep them safe and do all these things. And yes, like, of course we want our kids to be safe, but sometimes safety goes too far.
Well, and I think goes like mentally. Yes. And I guess I'm thinking of even the coddling of like, oh, well, we're not going to talk about that because, you know, I don't want them to like, and again, age appropriate.
Oh, we're having a full sex conversation the other day.
Right? We like kids
on our way to church of all places, like it comes up and it's like, well, here it is. Let's just have at it.
Exactly.
I guess.
But I guess that's what I mean. Like there's, and obviously like were the little kids having any clue what was like really being talked about? No, not really.
The other two didn't.
Exactly. But at the same time, like coddling those conversations where it's like, oh, well, I don't want to involve them in that. And I believe there are certain things that like your kids don't need to be involved with. Like they shouldn't be worrying about your family's finances or things like that. But at the same time, I think it's also very okay for them. Are we frozen? Nope, we're not frozen. Okay. Maybe we're frozen. But I think that it's also okay for them to understand that like the value of money, right? And like, okay, so that costs, you know, $25 for us to all go get coffee. Do you want to buy coffee today? I mean, again, they don't need to be like stressing about things, but I think those open conversations are a good thing.
Well, I think so often we want to shield our kids from everything. And I know I've been guilty of this also. It's like, you want to shield them, keep their innocence. And I think that there is a big important part of that. Like there are certain things
definitely
that are age specific, I believe. Now, what age that is, I think that's up to us as parents to decide.
But I also think there's a fine line there where it's also you take so much of that away. And if you completely shelter them from everything, then you get to the point where just like you said, they go out into the world and it's like, they have no idea.
They go out. Like I remember people like friends of mine who they were so sheltered and things were so strict.
Not even sheltered.
Home.
It was so strict. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
it was strict and sheltered. Like things weren't talked about, I guess I would say, to where they got out of the house and they went crazy, like full on drug problems and everything else. And so like, there is this balancing act, but you know, one of the things that I've thought a lot about is, you know, like how do you actually keep those super high standards, but also make sure that your kids aren't getting too hard on themselves. Mm-hmm. And what I've come up with, and I'm not sure this is the perfect thing, and obviously chime in on this, but I always want to be the dad that will tell them the truth, will motivate them, will push them beyond their belief, but also make sure that my love isn't conditional on any of those things.
Yeah.
Like, so for example, if like when Kennedy had a bad game, mm-hmm. right? Like in basketball this year, again, playing up, but I still like, I don't care if you're an eighth grader playing on varsity. Like
expected to play at a varsity level.
As my kid, I'm going to hold you to a high standard. And the type of output that you put out there, as far as like your energy, your attitude, you're not going to be the best player. We all know that, right? You're an eighth grader playing against seniors and stuff. But like, I am going to hold you to a high standard from like a personal standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like you are going to be expected as my kid, like it or not, sorry, you were born into this family, but you are going to be expected to give effort and to try hard mm-hmm. and to hustle and like all the things that you can control. Like that's how I am going to hold you to a standard.
Yeah.
And Having said that, though, I think what's so important, because this is where I do think you can push kids over that edge, which is when they start thinking that your love is conditional on them accomplishing or achieving those things. And so what I've tried to do, and I don't know if I've always been good at it, maybe I have, maybe I haven't, but it's like, I want my kids to always know that no matter what, like, they will be loved. Like, I will love them. I will do everything I can to support them. But what I won't do is I will not allow them to give less than all of their effort. Because I know someday when they're not in the NBA or WNBA or whatever, they're going to have a job or a business or whatever else. And I want them to internally have that standard, right? And I know there's going to be people like, oh, well, you're building them up to put too much pressure on themselves. And honestly, guys, like,
that's crap.
But not only that, like, it's okay if you're underperforming to put pressure on yourself. Like, we should, I feel like, and again, like, maybe this is controversial this day and age, but we should have internal pressure trying to push us
well, be the best
to become
can be.
The best we can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think too, going back to that, and I would say similarly, where it's a similar thing, where it's just like trying to, you know, look at that, where the standard is the effort put in. Like, that's kind of where I'm, again, the same thing. We can take 4-H for example, because I always end up talking about it, but it's like, I don't care when they go in there, if they're going to walk out with a blue ribbon. Don't care. My kids know I don't care. Like, we, you know, they're using beef off of our ranch, which, yes, are great quality, but there's a lot of people who, you know, without getting into it, there's like special calves that they buy just for 4-H shows, and they're bred. It's like you're taking a golden retriever and now we have golden doodles, right? Like, that's like what it ends up like, an Angus to now we have like a show calf Angus. Like, they're different. Anyways, all that to say, where it's like, my kids, and I tell people even in 4-H, I'm like, I don't really care. Like, I'm not out to like win the quality class, because we're not playing that game. What we're playing is, I want them to take care of their own animal, raise their own animal. They're responsible for feeding, care. Kennedy has to go down there multiple times a week. She now can halter or steer. She can go and catch him by herself. She has to teach him to lead. Like, that's the stuff. The effort part of it is what I care about. And I want to see her in the ring giving 100% her best effort, but I'm not here to play the game for win, right? Like, and then that's something where I look at, again, basketball, like all those things. Like, if you've gone out there and if you have worked your butt off, and maybe that's even just chores around the house, like whatever, if you've like done your very best, you've put in the top effort you could, and because of your, again, age, stature, physical ability, whatever, it might not be at the level that I could have done it, or again, you're going to beat her in basketball, like those type of things. Proud as can all be. And that's what she's going to get like praised for, is that effort that she was able to do.
Well, and I think it comes back to one of my favorites.
You're able to give, I guess.
Yeah. One of my favorite sayings or quotes is, how you do one thing is how you do anything.
Yes.
And when I believe that, like, if you can get your kids to do one thing, great, you know, effort, great, accountability, standards, all of that, like that just starts translating into everything else in their life. And that's true for any of us, like whether you're 14 or 11, like our son is, or whether you're 41, like I am, right? Like, I do believe that how you do one thing is how you do everything. Now, you know, where is that learned? Well, I think so much of that is learned at a young age, like work ethic. I believe so much of that is ingrained at a young age.
Yep.
Can you develop that as you get older? 100%. But I feel like the older we get, the harder we are to teach.
Yeah.
You know, like it is. It's like, it's much easier, I feel like, to teach your kids at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, how to work hard and be, you know, respectful and all of those things, than it is when they're 18 and more set in their ways, or 25 and really set in their ways. And so, you know, I look back and I think, you know, like, how are we too hard in certain circumstances, right? Like, there's times when, you know, our daughter will, she'll get home from club volleyball at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and still have to walk outside in the dark with her little spotlight on her forehead and like feed her horse.
Yeah.
Right. And she has to take the grain out there and do all of that. And it takes 5 minutes. Right. But you all know how that goes. Like, you come
it's
home
crappy,
tired.
Rainy.
Yeah. You come home tired. You're ready to go to bed. You're ready to eat. Maybe you're hungry. Mm-hmm. And it's one more thing you have to do. You have to bundle up, go out there. But like, what's so cool now is that she's kind of been doing this for so many years that that's not a big deal for her to do it anymore, because her standards
just
have been,
she's
raised her standards so much to where that is her standard. Like, it's okay. Like, that's just a habit. Like, you take care of your animals, you go feed, you do this stuff. That's just like what we do.
Yeah.
And like, what I noticed and what was so much fun in the basketball side of it is that she was not by any stretch of the imagination a great player, but man, did she hustle. And yep. So many people, even from other schools, like people would come up and be like, oh, that's your daughter. You know, like she does so well. Like she just hustles so much. And I'm like, mm-hmm. awesome. Yeah. Because she can control
like
that.
The best compliment you can
yeah.
get.
Yeah. She's not a good shooter right now. Like she's not a great offensive player in general, but like she works her butt off on the defensive side. And to me, that makes me as proud as anything. Like she could go out and score 20 points, but like, if you've ever watched basketball, there's players that can go score 20 points and then they just get, you know, they give up points on the other end because yeah. they're lazy and they're not, you know? And so like, I feel like she's having that standard of, you know, really what I feel like is a standard of excellence, right? Like mm-hmm. if I'm going to do it, I'm going to give it 100%. And if I give it 100%, there's a good chance I'll be very, very good at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And Riley, I think that he's starting to learn that as well. Our younger girls, like they're probably going to be the babies of the family. And I can see that like materializing a little bit. We might need to crack down on them.
Crack on them a little bit.
Still but even then, like it's,
I don't, last night they didn't, thank God. Yeah. But I think even with them, right. And it's something where, and like, I think both of us have had to learn it, but it's really frustrating when, you know, they don't maybe do things at the level you want them to. And I'm thinking like the little girls, right? So they're 6-year-old twins and it's like, their room will be a disaster or whatever it is. And you know, it's easy. They'll be like, hey, you know, our room's all clean. And then you go in there and it's like, no, this is not clean at all. And continuing for me, my thing is I just make them, I'm like, nope, still not done. Go back in. Like just keeping them doing, not doing the like, oh my gosh, I'll just help you. Or I'm just going to do it myself. You can't do it right. You know, it's like, well, you can hang out here all day long, but until all this is actually cleaned up, then
you have society kind of in your ear, right? Of like, oh, we should just be grateful that we have healthy kids, right?
Yeah.
We shouldn't get upset over a dirty room. And like, yes, I agree. But also there's probably like
there's going to be adults someday. Well, and that's what's
scary. Probably some like Chinese kid that's 6 years old and putting together a Rubik's Cube in like four seconds. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's like, we're raising our kids now in a more of a global economy, whether we like it or not, which I don't love all of that. We are. And how are they going to be equipped for success if we're like, I should just be grateful that I have kids that are healthy and, you know, I shouldn't put too much pressure on them. Like, it's so hard, right? Like, it's so hard.
It goes back to the like, okay, so let's say it's just fun, free for all the time. And this is where I think, you know, again, I can think of so many examples, whether it's Kennedy, the twins, all of them, where it's like, if we were just free for all and didn't do anything, basically had no responsibility. Like, I don't care if you clean up. I don't care if you, you know, put your dishes away, like nothing. I mean, unless you literally have a maid that's following you around, like, so your room just eventually becomes a complete pigsty and now you can't find your clothes, like all those type of things. You're, you know, like our animals aren't getting fed. So cool, Kennedy, you want to have a horse, but now it's dead because you haven't fed it. You know what I mean? So it gets all these things where it's just, there's those responsibilities where it's like, if you want to have nice things, if you want to have, you know, maybe let's say a peaceful life in the sense where you can go into your room and play with the toys you want to play with, then you're going to have to take care of these things to be able to have that. And I know that it is a struggle where, and I get it too. And like, it's something I'm kind of working on even right now where it's like the kids get home and it's just automatic. They want to like lounge and just relax. And I get that, right? They just got home from school, practices, all the things. But then there's also that point of it where, okay, but we also have things like you have to get done. Like Riley, you've got to go check your chickens and check on your pig every day. You know, Kennedy, you've got horses to take care of and steers. And I mean, everybody has their responsibilities based on their age. Like the little girls put away the dishes for me or like things like that. And so kind of, you know, allowing them that freedom of being like, hey, do you want to sit for a few minutes and then like tackle these things? Cause they're getting done before dinner. Or to me, and again, this is just me. So I don't want to like force them to do this if this isn't their personality. But to me, I'm also like, let's just get this crap done. Like go feed the dog real quick. Like right now, just get it done. And then we can chill for the rest of the night and your stuff's done. Mm-hmm. And kind of teaching them that also with, again, trying to be gracious, but you know, it's the hard because it's like once you're down, I mean, I think for all of us, it's like it's so much harder to get up and remotivated.
Oh, yeah.
But just again, teaching that where it's like then you can go do what you want to do, get your stuff done.
Well, and I think that kids like kind of left to their own devices, like they would never do anything. Mm-hmm. Right. They would just sit around, lounge around, eat, play video games. Like, well, I remember being a kid, like
100%. You know, and I think that's, and I don't try to like guilt them, but I do think, and if some people, you know, maybe it's just a dog and a cat or whatever, but it's like getting them to realize that like something else they're responsible for something else. Something else is dependent on them. And so there has been times where like I said, all of a sudden, like Riley hasn't fed or something. And I, you know, had to ask him, be like, okay, so when was the last time you fed the dogs? Like, so they just haven't eaten for 2 days. Like, that's nice. Like, well, would you like to not eat for 2 days? And, you know, kind of having that conversation too.
One of the things, because of course there's times where it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do that. And I always come back to, and I try to level with my kids as much as I can.
Yeah, I don't want to either. You know?
Well, and it's like, one day you'll thank me. And I always try to like tell them that, because I think that they will. Like,
yeah,
I, you know, there's so many things as a kid. Like, I remember being a kid and your parents tell you these things and you're like, what an idiot. You know, mom's an idiot, dad's an idiot, whatever. Like, why would I have to do this? Why do I need to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, and then you get older and you're like, oh, okay, that's now it makes sense. Okay, thanks, mom, for, you know, making me do those things. Or thanks, dad, for teaching me those things.
Yeah.
And that's what I always just try to tell my kids. It's like, I get you think it's stupid now, but there'll come a day when you have, you know, the things you want because you've been taught to earn them and to work for them, that hopefully you'll thank me for it. Or at least maybe you'll respect the reasons why we were making you do these things.
Well, and personal responsibility there again. I mean, I think of even just like laundry. It's like, okay, our big kids, like, you know how to do laundry. You're old enough. Like, so when your stuff isn't washed, and I'm not saying I never do their laundry. I absolutely do sometimes. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to go up to their room and pick up their room and get their dirty clothes. If you want to bring me a hamper and ask me like, hey, if I throw a load of laundry in, like, will you switch it through the day? Of course I do that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if the laundry basket's full or not. Like,
My mom did my laundry.
But I also went.
Oh, so we're both meaner parents.
We're both meaner parents, yes. But again, I remember going to college and not having a clue.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of that fine line. I was like, I don't freaking know how to do laundry. Like, you know? So, I mean, I think it is that, like, you're, again, I feel like they're very well taken care of. I fold their laundry a lot, like, different things. But it's also, I look at it, I guess, where it's like, I want, you know, because we were, when you were talking about Kennedy having to feed, there are some nights where it's like, you know what? It's super crappy out. Like, she's not going to get home for another 2 hours. Like, I'm out here. I'm going to just go and feed for her.
Yeah.
But what's cool now is when I do that and I tell her, she's like, oh my gosh, thank you. Like, that's grateful. Awesome. Yeah. She's grateful and appreciative. Not just like, well, yeah, I wasn't going to do it anyways, you know? Well, and even last night, it was cool. It was probably the first time I've seen this. So she had an evening, I guess I should say, in the sense of like, she just did a bajillion different things. Like, and it was all stuff she wanted to do. I didn't ask her to do any of it, but I would say it was kind of her to-do list, maybe, of things she wanted to do. She knew she needed to work with her 4-H steer. She wanted to ride her horse. She wanted to move a bottle calf that we had from a year ago, who's now like a big steer, in with her steer. And what else did she wanted to do? There was something else that I don't remember what it was, but I mean, she spent like 3 hours outside doing all this stuff, like, and busy. Oh, she had to unload the hay. We got hay yesterday, so she had to unload that. And anyways, all these different things. And she comes in and she's like pooped, but she's like stoked and in a good mood. Yeah. And she was like, mom, I got this done. I got that done. I got this done. I did this. And, you know, and she was just jacked. And I was like, see, I was like, it feels good to like get stuff done when you like have things you want to get done. She's like, yeah, I know, that was awesome. Like, I got all that stuff. And what was cool is she was so proud of herself too, because she did it all literally by herself. Like, I didn't do anything.
I remember it was like several months ago, Riley, our son, he kind of, you know, like sometimes when you're doing stuff and you get busy, like, and you got four kids, one will just kind of hide out and you might not see him and you kind of forget, you know,
maybe
and
that's just us.
Yeah. Maybe it's just us. But anyways, like, he ended up like going up and playing video games, right, upstairs. And it was kind of like one of those out of sight.
Yeah. Well, and it was a day I think we were all kind of loungy. It was a crappy day out. Like,
we were in and out and just like, didn't really think much of it. Well, he comes down and realizes like how long he'd been.
No, he came down. He's like, well, I'm going to go out now he was going to do something that he'd talked about doing that day.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, you're not actually. It's 7 o'clock at night. Like, you're not going to go do that now.
Yeah. And he's like crying because he just completely wasted his whole day.
Well, he realized it. I remember he realized it. Yeah. Like the light bulb moment. And all of a sudden he was like, I've been up there all day.
Yeah.
Like, I wasted all day up there. And I was like, yeah, you did.
Yep.
And like, that's okay to like have a lazy day, but like, yeah, you did. Like,
well, and it was kind of cool because he actually was bummed and it's like, okay,
super upset.
Maybe we are doing something right. Like, we are teaching them that like sitting around playing video games, like, again, like you just said, it's okay to have those lazy days and have those recovery days. But also, I think all of us still want to accomplish something in a day. Like, playing video games for 6 straight hours should not really be an accomplishment, right? Like,
I don't care how many levels you beat. It's not an accomplishment.
There should be something more than that.
Yeah.
And so the other thing, you know, like a couple nights ago, We're watching the national championship game, the girls game, the Iowa game.
Yep.
And Caitlin Clark. Awesome. I just saw there was like 18.7 million people watched that.
I love it.
It said it was the highest rated basketball game of any classification in like 5 years or since 2017, maybe. Or
basketball,
I don't
know. Or sports? Probably not basketball.
Not sports, but
football.
Football's king. But yeah, as far as basketball, well, no, I'm just saying for ratings.
Yes.
But like as far as like NBA, WNBA, NCAA men's, women's, all
That's
of it.
Awesome.
It was like the highest rated game. But what was cool is that there was this video that was going around showing Caitlin Clark working out like before
her,
the game.
Her lead up.
Yeah. And so like showing Kennedy that was really cool as well. And we showed our little girls and obviously Riley too. But, you know, understanding that when you see somebody have that type of greatness on the court, it is from the standard. And a big part of that standard is actually how they're performing outside of the arena, right? Like, what are you doing? Is that there? It kind of went away. But sorry, on the video side here. But, you know, you start understanding that the reason why people are excelling, and especially when you get kind of a once-in-a-lifetime talent like Caitlin Clark, like, yes, she was born with it, but she also had to cultivate
it. She had to cultivate
it. It came from a standard and how she prepares and how she trains and what she does when the cameras aren't on and the 18.7 million people aren't watching her. Like so much of what we see on the court comes from a standard. You know, Kobe Bryant was another one. Like if you ever get a chance to kind of like look into what, like the way that he used to prepare, it was insane. Like if you went to the, if you were a teammate of him and you're like, oh, I'm going to beat him there, I'm going to start showing up at 4 a.m. He'd show up at like 3:30 because he was not going to let anybody beat him. Like that's just his standard for himself. Now, obviously that's next level, but like with our kids, I want them to have such a high standard to where even if they don't meet it, like they're still excelling at what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that that just comes over having standards. I think so often, again, like coming back to the societal side of this, we want to just have our kids have such a great life because our life sucked as a kid maybe, or, you know, we weren't raised the way that we hoped we were. And so we're going to fix our kids because, and yes, like you can absolutely do some of those things. You can cure some of those like generational traumas or whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel like we're going through a big overcorrection. Mm-hmm. Like we've gotten so far away from standards and morals and stuff like that to where like now anything goes. Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't want to do your best. That's okay. Because do you feel good?
Well, that, and, or I feel like when they're like, well, I tried my hardest and they didn't put like any effort. Like, I think that's a big issue too, where it's like, you can call them on it and be like, okay, well that's crap actually. And if you do think that was your best effort, like then we need to go.
Yeah.
Do something different. And like, you know, because I mean, you can, you've all, any parent, you've seen it, you know, where it's like, I am trying. No, you're not actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's so many different rabbit holes. I know we could go down. We need to start wrapping this up. I got some other stuff I got
to
do.
I have things to do too.
Oh, okay. But having said that, I guess what I would like to put out there is just to like, consider, are you not just putting too hard of standards on your kids, right? Like I get everyone is already, I feel like, cognizant of that, but like, let's look at the other side of that, which is, are you actually being too soft on your kids? Mm-hmm. Are you
doing things for your kids that they could be doing themselves?
That they could be doing themselves. Or like, are you not holding them to a standard because maybe you want to avoid a conflict? Maybe you want to avoid turmoil
it's
in the
easier.
House momentarily. Mm-hmm. It's easier, right? Like, are you doing those things? Because eventually those things will catch up to you, right? They will catch up to your kids as well. I firmly believe that. Now, if you raise your kids with high standards and you do everything you can, does that mean they're going to turn out perfect? Of course not, right? Nothing is guaranteed when you raise kids. But at the same time, like, I firmly believe that whether it's a company that you're running, whether it's a team, it's a family, any of that stuff, when you can set the standard high enough, that everybody around you also starts having high standards, whatever you're doing is going to be much, much more efficient. It's going to be much, much more successful. Again, like look at the best teams that you know of, the New England Patriots dynasty, their standard was super high, right? The standard was high from the owner to the GM, to the coach, to the quarterback, to the stinking water boy, right? Like everybody in that building had an expectation of excellence and winning.
Yeah.
And when you have a family that has that same expectation, then it's only natural that you're going to win as a family, right?
Absolutely.
Like your kids are going to win. You're going to win. Your family's going to win. And so like, I would just ask everybody to maybe consider like, have you let that slide? Just like, you know, some of the bad teams let it slide. They let the culture degrade. They let, you know, the players are running the team when the coach and the GM should be, right? Like that could be your kids running the team. And it's like, no, you're the parents. You're there to set the tone and to raise the standard. So I feel like it's our duty and our obligation as parents to set the standard and then do everything we can to get our kids to continuously try to live up to that standard while raising their own standards. So hopefully someday they can pass those along to their team, to their kids, to their family. And hey, maybe that's what our legacy will be someday.
Yep, absolutely. Well, and I think to that, my final thoughts on just that piece of it is kind of like you mentioned, but the teamwork side of it, right? Because I know one of the things was, you know, and maybe other moms can relate to this. Like I was feeling like I was running around like a crazy person and I'd say I have all these things to do. And it's, you know, it's always that, you know, back of your mind where you're like, how is nobody else have any of these things, you know, going on or to do or whatever. But at the same time, it was kind of a light bulb moment for me where it was like, why aren't anybody else doing this? And from a standpoint of our children, like, why am I trying to do this and do that and do that? And it's like, they can help. Like, this is a household. This is not just me being your maid. And that's anybody who's been in my house hears me say that, like, I'm not your maid, clean up your own stuff. But, you know, I mean, it's things like even that's where it was like, hey, the little girls can help unload the dishes. Like they like doing it. Okay. That's your job. That's age appropriate. You can do it. You know, what are things that other people can do? So just look at it from a team standpoint as well of, and maybe even have that conversation. Like we're going to all do this together because like, this is our household team. And if we all do these things, many hands make light work. Like we can all get it done and then we move on and it's easy. So that would just be my little thought on that.
Awesome. What do people need to do now?
Need to share the show. That's share. How you know, that's, we don't obviously put it out there any other way. We aren't running ads, any of those things. So the biggest thing in the podcast world is for you to just share it with other people so they can find us. And if you wouldn't mind just the rating and reviewing the shows, that's, you know, going into whatever podcast platform you utilize, rate, review. There again, that's how you get on the rankings and all the things, which we don't really care about. It's more of, we just want other people to find us and be able to hear a message. And that's how you do it.
Yes. So if you have listened all the way through, see, we didn't ask you to share the show at the very beginning, right? Because what if you got halfway through and you're like, this is terrible. Garbage. Yeah. Why would I share it? But if you're still listening at this point, you must've at least found some value, maybe some entertainment. I don't know. Maybe you just love my haircut. If you're watching on YouTube, like no one else is. So far at least, but if you're listening to the audio side and you've made it this far, we just ask you to share the show out, right?
Quick snapshot, you know, screenshot,
share it in your stories, wherever. Yep. And the more people that you share this out to, the more the show grows and the more, hey, it gives us the feeling that we should continue doing these, right?
Yep. Exactly.
I don't want to fire you.
Oh, thanks. Like you're going to fire me. I'm your best guest.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, everybody. Have an awesome day. Make sure, share the show, get it out there to everybody. Any final words?
Nope. Have a great day.
See you guys.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.